Okay, let's continue. And the next question is number 5. What is Kokeshi? Can you answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Kokeshi is a simple wooden door consisting of a cylindrical body and a round head. The doors have no leg and no arms. They originated in Tohoku region, which is located in northern part of Honshu Island.
In that northern part?
That northern part of Honshu Island. And were sold for visitors to hot springs. At present, there are many collectors of the doors, and also tourists buy them as souvenir.
Okay, visitors buy them. Say it again. Visitors buy them.
Visitors buy them as souvenir.
As souvenirs.
Souvenirs.
Right. And there were what, made for visitors, or sold to visitors, maybe at hot springs.
At hot. Oh, okay.
I think you said two hot springs, or what did you say?
I said sold for visitors to hot springs.
Oh, let's.
Visitor to hot springs.
Sold to visitors at hot springs.
To visitors
at hot springs.
At hot springs.
Good.
Okay.
And what is Kokeshi?
Kokeshi is a wooden pork doll representing a little girl. It consists of a cylindrical body with a round head, and it has no legs and arms. It is one of the popular souvenirs for tourists.
Okay, what is another doll that has no arms and legs?
It is Daruma.
What is a Daruma?
It is a paper doll with no legs and arms. And first, it doesn't have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And once people buy Daruma and they have some determination, they put one side of eyes,
They draw what? Paint one eye.
Paint one eye. And when their people put the eye.
Right. Okay. Good. Right. So I know you said first they have determination, but maybe some people have a wish or a hope or a dream. Maybe not motivation, no, determination. No.
Mm.
Okay. So when the dream comes true, they paint the other eye. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. What is Kokeshi?
Kokeshi is a wooden doll without legs or arms, and it has a cylindrical body and a round head, and it represents a little girl. And and it is mainly produced in the Tohoku region, region, in the northern part of Japan, especially in Miyagi Prefecture. And around the 17th to 18th century, it was a popular souvenir among the travelers visited hot spring resorts in the region.
Okay, travelers who visited?
Hot spring resorts in Tohoku region. And
in that Tohoku region.
And now it is loved by Kokeshi collectors.
Okay, and what?
And it is
nowadays.
Nowadays, it is popular. It is popular among Kokeshi lovers.
Okay, Kokeshi collectors.
Collectors.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right. Where in Tohoku is a famous place for Kokeshi?
The most famous place producing Kokeshi. It's Miyagi Prefecture, and it is in the middle part of the Tohoku region.
Mm. Okay, right, Miyagi Prefecture. There's a town, do you know that? There's a town famous for
Narukis.
Huh?
Naruko.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've never been there, but I've heard that's kind of like the famous for Kokeshi, Naruko. Okay, good. And what is Kokeshi? Okay.
Kokeshi is a wooden doll. It has a round head and the body is cylindrical. And no arms and no legs. And you can buy Kokeshi at various places in Japan. When I was small, my parents bought me Kokeshi, but nowadays I don't think they are so popular. Mm. And instead, real Kokeshi as a keychain, as a head of keychain, Kokeshi dolls are used, I think.
Okay, just as a keychain, yeah, head of, probably not head of keychain.
As a keychain, okay. Kokeshi dolls used.
Right, okay. Do you still have those Kokeshi?
No.
Oh, I said they would be antique now, no?
But they became dirty.
Yeah, they get dirty. How big or what is the size of Kokeshi?
About 20 to 30 centimeters, I think.
Yeah, some of that depends, right? Yeah, maybe the standard size is 20 to 30. Yeah, there's some very baby, tiny ones, baby ones, and then they have big, tall, 50 centimeters or so, right? Big ones, right? Okay, good.
How about in a pair, mom and woman? No, for girls.
Well, there are some, yeah, sold as a pair, aren't there?
Pair.
Are there? Yeah. I think I'm not too much, but I think I have seen some are sold as a pair of lady and boy and girl or something. It's just interesting on this, I think Dharma, they have legs and arms. And be careful of this, because I'm hearing regs. Be careful of your L pronunciation. And normally in English, arms and legs is the usual way to express this. It doesn't have any arms and legs. Arms come before legs. I don't know why. What do you say, Teashi?
Teashi.
Right? Kind of like, well, okay, you know, arms and legs, so you don't say ashite, right? So arms and legs is the usual expression, but both are okay in English. It doesn't sound funny. It just, the usual expression is arms and legs. Okay, let's go to any other questions. And she's, you can buy for them in many places, so souvenir shops, department stores, of course, Nakamise. And Oriental Bazaar and Hot Springs, of course, right? Okay, how about number 6, which is a difficult question. This isn't really answered. I'm not a music professor, so I cannot tell really a lot of the differences. But what I would put here is something like, musical instruments used are different, so the sound is different. In other words, many instruments have the same function, but because they have different shapes and materials, they sound different. Such as the shamisen is like a banjo or guitar, and the koto is like a harp, and taiko is like a drum, and shakuhachi like a flute. They all function the same, but they sound different. Okay, I know that's kind of long, but the idea is the functions are the same. We call wind instruments that you blow, stringed instruments, you hit the strings, drums, percussion instrument, you hit. So the function is the same, but the shape and materials are different, so they sound different, among other things of rhythm and the style of music. Okay, you want to try what's the difference between Western music and traditional Japanese music?
Traditional Japanese music is played with traditional Japanese musical instruments,
mm-hmm.
and such as shakuhachi and shakuhachi, koto, and shamisen. Koto, they have same functions as Western musical instruments, but the shape is different, so the sound is different. Like a shakuhachi is a flute, and a shakuhachi is like a flute, mm-hmm. and shamisen is like a banjo, and
koto?
Koto is like a harp.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah, that's fine. That sounds nice. Is anyone saying the word harp? Koto was like a zither?
Yeah.
Ah. I don't like that word. It's an ugly word even in English. And it's difficult for Japanese to say jijija or something. It comes out kind of difficult. Zither is the name. And I just assume it's easier for you to say harp. And most people would understand harp before they understand zither. Now, do you all know what a zither is? You have some people use it in their answer, but they don't know what it is. It's kind of hard to, well, it's an instrument that looks something like a koto, but you hold it in your lap. It's not real big. And there's strings across, okay? And when you have strings across, then in the middle part, there are like boards. I don't know what you would call it, boards on the top. Okay, this is looking down. Okay, from the top you see these boards, they're different ones. Okay. And the boards have a little handle thing you push with your finger. They're just like look like a typewriter key. Something like a round thing you push. And if you look from the side, each board has different teeth. If you have this board looking this way, it might have this. The string is here, if you can understand. And so this one might have a teeth here and here. So when you push down on the little handle, it hits these three strings. So it's like in a guitar, you hold the strings with your finger. The zither holds it with this little bar. So it pushes down. So each bar is different. So they have a row of bars, and each bar is different. So this one might have a tooth like this, and the one next to it, its teeth might be like this. Okay, no tooth, right? And then this one might have, like this, and then the next one might have four, or how many strings. So it's just pushing these down to make sounds. That's what a zither is. They're kind of an old-fashioned thing. People, they're not very common. That you push down on the bars and by the number of strings has teeth like this, so it pushes this. The next one's like this, kind of. Okay? Anyway, I would say harp, but just to explain what the zither is. Okay, and what do you have for an answer? What is your answer for the difference between Western music and traditional Japanese music?
I think Western and Japanese music. From the beginning,
okay.
Musical instruments used in Western and Japanese music are different. So the sounds produced are different.
Mm-hmm.
And traditional Japanese music falls into three main classes. Unhurried, graceful gangaku style, and no theater music, and the repertories of the koto, shamisen, and shakuhachi. Those three are Japanese traditional music.
Instruments? Those three are traditional music styles.
Music, Japanese music.
Okay.
As a whole. Whereas foreign music, Western music are different, and because they use different musical instruments.
Okay.
And Western style music has many, many styles, classical, rock, folk, electro pop and club, hip hop, dance and disco, Latin, etc.
Right, so lots of different kinds of music, right? Okay, good. What is the difference between Western and Japanese music?
Well, the function is the same, but the shape and the end of the sound is different, so the sound is different. And for example, shamisen looks like a banjo, and shakuhachi like a vertical flute, and koto like harp.
Like a harp.
Like a harp. The traditional Japanese musical instruments produce unique sounds, unique tones, quite different from that produced by Western ones. Melancholy sound is a distinctive feature of the Japanese musical instrument.
Okay, good. Just the very beginning, although the shape and what did you say?
The shape and size
of musical instruments.
And the function.
Yeah, so I would put the shape and size. I think you need musical instruments in that sentence.
Okay.
So the shape and size of what? So the shape and size of musical of musical instruments.
Of musical instrument is different, so the sound is different.
Okay, or maybe are different.
Are different.
Okay, the shape, the shape. What did you say? The shape and size.
Or the
what?
Shape and size of musical instruments are different. So the sound is different.
Right, so all of the functions are the same, in a sense. Good. All right, what are the differences between Western and Japanese traditional music?
Well, the musical instruments used are different. their function of the instruments are, their functions are the same as Western, but the shapes, size, and material are different from the Westerns. So the sound is different. The main musical instrument for traditional Japanese music are shamisen, like banjo, shakuhachi, or bamboo flute, and koto, which is like harp.
Okay.
The rhythm is slow compared with the Western music.
Okay, good. All right, is everybody okay with this? Let's go to the World Heritage Sites. Okay, and where are we going to go? Where do you suggest?
I will tell you about Himeji Castle.
Okay.
It is located in Himeji, near Kobe in Hyogo Prefecture. And it is designated as a national treasure. Also, it is registered as a World Cultural Heritage Site as the first cultural site in Japan. Himeji Castle is famous for its beautiful walls, and it is called White Heron Castle.
Okay, and what is special about Himeji Castle that it became a World Heritage Site? Do you know what's special about it?
I'm not sure, but I think the Himeji Castle
was destroyed.
Was destroyed?
Yes, yeah, it was never destroyed completely, so it's basically the original building. Okay? So that's special about Himeji. It's basically the original building. Because many other castles have been reconstructed. So Osaka Castle, Nagoya Castle have been reconstructed. And Himeji is one of the few castles that has not been reconstructed. But it has been reinforced and remodeled and, you know, fixed so it's safe. But it's actually the original structure is there. Good, okay. Where are you taking us? What World Heritage Site are you going to introduce?
I would tell you about Miyajima, located in Hiroshima Prefecture.
Okay.
And Miyajima literally means Shrine Island, and it is on the Seto Inland Sea. And outstanding feature of Miyajima, it's led a huge torii gate, and when the sea is high tide, the torii gate looks like floating on the sea, and when the tide is low, you can enjoy shellfish hunting under the torii gate. And also, the Miyajima has its Tsukushima Shrine, and its Tsukushima Shrine is was built as a palace style of the Heian period, and also the sea is when the sea is high tide.
Okay, let's say that when the sea is at high tide.
When the sea is at high tide.
Okay, so when the sea is at high tide.
When the sea is at high tide, and the shrine also looks like floating.
Okay, looks like it is floating. Okay, you want to say that once more again?
Yes. And it's Tsukushima Shrine. When the sea is at high tide, its Tsukushima Shrine also looks like it is floating on the sea. Mm.
Good, yeah, alright. So the first part about the Torii Gate also fix the same sentence. It's better. I was going to fix that, but let's fix it now. Good. Okay. What World Heritage Site do you recommend me to visit?
How about the Kinkakuji Temple?
Okay.
Is it the World Heritage? I'm not sure.
I don't think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kinkakuji is a three-storied villa built in 1397 by the Shogun Ashikaga Yoshimitsu. It is constructed in a combination of Shinden, bouquet, and Chinese Zen style, with the three styles drawn together harmoniously by the delicate curve of the Hogyo style roof. The name Kinkaku, Gold Pavilion, derives from the gold leaf used to decorate the inside and outside of the second and third stories. A young priest set fire to the original building in 1950, razing it to the ground, and the present building was constructed in 1955.
Okay, good. Where is Kinkakuji?
Kinkakuji is in Kyoto.
In Kyoto, right. Okay, good. That really sounds nice. I hope you can memorize the book. But no, it sounds nice. It's a little difficult word, but it's very easy to understand. I don't know all those forms of what is that, the styles, the architectural styles. I don't know. Okay, where do you recommend I visit?
I want to tell you about Tonshogun Shrine in Nikko.
Okay.
Nikko is located in Tochigi Prefecture. It takes about 2 hours by the express train from Shinjuku. And the Tonshogun Shrine is dedicated to Tokugawa Ieyasu, who is the first shogun of the Tokugawa Shogunate. The engravings of Yomeimon Gate is very beautiful.
Okay, are
the engravings of Yomeimon Gate are very gorgeous, and because of its beautiful colors. And engravings of three monkeys are also very famous, and sleeping cat is also well known.
I don't know if the engravings or carvings.
Are the carvings?
Carvings is maybe better. Yeah.
Okay,
did you finish or did
yes.
I? Okay, good. That's a good answer. And when you talk about Nikko, the three monkeys and the sleeping cat are really famous. People love to see those. Okay, where do you recommend, what World Heritage Site do you want to tell me about?
I'll take you to Hokkaido. I'd like to explain about Shiretoko.
Okay.
The word Shiretoko is an Ainu word meaning end of the earth. Shiretoko is a virgin peninsula dripping into the Sea of Okhotsk. You can enjoy a wonderful hike of Rao Sudake. A sightseeing cruise gives you a chance to see the wonderful coastline with sheer cliff. The peninsula has an onsen or hot spring bath named Kamuiwaka Falls, which means water of the gods in Ainu. In 2005, UNESCO designated the area a World Heritage Site, advising to develop the property jointly with Kuril Islands of Russia as a transboundary World Heritage Peace Park.
Okay, good. Do you know the other two natural heritage sites?
In where?
In Japan.
Oh, other.
Fuji. Huh? Fuji Dami.
Shirakami.
What is it? That's the one in Aomori?
Aomori.
What is it? Shirakami?
Shirakami Mountainous Area.
Yeah, Shirakami Mountainous Area. And where's the other one?
Yakushima.
Yakushima and Kagoshima Prefecture. Good. Okay. Yeah, Fuji-san. Why is Fuji-san... Okay, why is Fuji-san not a World Heritage Site? They gave you the hint.
But Fuji is not, actually is not, but Fuji looks very beautiful, but actually a lot of, there are a lot of trashes.
Trash.
And Tobias left.
Yeah, but I think, I heard it's not so much trash on the mountain.
Mm.
Where is the trash?
At
the foot of the mountains, because at nighttime the gyosha bring old tires and drum cans, and people bring at nighttime their old televisions, and so it became very bad around the foothills because at nighttime.
Why do they do that?
Well, yeah, I don't know, it's terrible, but that's what happened. So when they looked at it, they realized that the UNESCO Foundation looked at it, they said, well, this is unfortunate, but Fuji-san's, you know, full of garbage and trash, so, no. Anyway, so that's, they tried. Now someone said they're trying to get it to be a cultural heritage, right?
Yes.
But there's a problem. What's the problem? So instead of a natural cultural heritage, they're going for cultural because it's a sacred mountain to the Japanese. But there's still a problem with Fuji-san. What is it? Does anyone? I've heard. What in what prefecture is? What prefecture is?
Scans of the border are between Yamanashi Prefecture.
And so I heard that they're having the prefectures, I don't know, fighting, but they're, which Tsuji-san is in Yamanashi? No, it's in Shizuoka, but more is in Shizuoka, more is in Yamanashi. And so they, you know, I think there was some dispute that, you know, to name it, then which prefecture is it in? And it's kind of, I don't know, it sounds kind of strange, but that was one issue. Okay. Anyway, what World Heritage Site do you want to tell me about?
I will tell you about Miyajima.
Okay.
Miyajima is one of the Japan's three most beautiful spots. Its Tsukushima Shrine and the surrounding sea and Green River Forest are designated as a World Heritage Site in 1996. Miyajima, which means Shrine Islands, is famous for the magnificent Tsukushima Shrine extending over the sea on long pillars. And you might be surprised to see the red painted the shrine gate is standing in the sea. It gives you a very floating on the sea.
Okay, try that again.
You might be surprised to see a red painted red painted shrine gate is standing in the sea. It looks like it is floating on the sea.
At high tide.
at high tide.
Good, yeah, that's the correct grammar. Everybody has trouble with this floating on the sea. So it looks like it is floating on the sea. At high tide, it looks like it is floating on the sea. Good. And it reminds me about Miyajima. Most foreign tourists know the name Miyajima. It's very popular. They don't know Itsukushima. They don't know Itsukushima Jinja. They don't know Itsukushima, the island. So Miyajima, I think, is the nicest way to explain this. And where are you going to tell us about?
I will tell you about Nikkon, okay. Which is located in Tochigi Prefecture.
Okay.
It takes only 2 hours from Asakusa Station using tow line. There are shrines, temples, and beautiful scenery, including mountains, waterfalls, and the lake. In the Toshogu Shrine, there is a beautiful and gorgeous gate, which is called Yomeimon, which is carved elaborately. And also, there are many treasures and buildings, beautiful buildings inside the site. After you finished the shrine, you can go up to the Chusenji Lake.
Okay, so after you finish maybe seeing or visiting or the shrine, okay.
After you finished?
Finished.
Oh, okay.
Or finish visiting. But you can't say after you finish the shrine. You have after you finish visiting the shrine, after you finish seeing the shrine.
Okay. After you finished seeing shrines.
Okay, the shrine, okay.
The shrine, you can go up to the Chusenji Lake, which is surrounded by mountains, so very beautiful, magnificent. And also there is a big waterfall, which is dynamic and beautiful. If you have more time, you can go forward to the large swamp in which you have many kind of plants, especially good in autumn because the color change and because the colorful leaves.
Okay, because of the colorful
because
leaves.
Because of the colorful leaves.
Good. What's the name of the waterfall?
You mean the swamp?
No, the fall, waterfall.
Oh.
And how tall is that? How high is it?
Oh. 98 centimeters.
Something like almost 100. I thought it was 96, but 98 is close. Yeah, so it's about 100. I don't think it's the tallest one, is it?
Vertically straight, and looks like tied to the heaven.
Oh, okay, so it looks vertically straight and like it's tied or connected to heaven. Yeah, I don't think it's the tallest one, is it?
Tallest
in Japan.
Tallest one is.
I'm not sure,
but I think it's like the third or something. But it's one of the tallest or highest waterfalls in Japan.
Yeah, that is why many people make suicide over there.
Yeah. Okay. I won't go there. No, I've been as beautiful in the winter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's iced. Frozen.
Well, yeah, I didn't see it frozen, but the surrounding trees and everything is just absolutely beautiful. So it was very nice to see in winter.
Yes.
Okay, good. We did the World Heritage Sites. How many World Heritage Sites are there in Japan?
There
are 11 World Heritage Sites in Japan?
Well, yes and no. What is she saying 11? What is 11? She's saying 11. Is that correct?
For cultural
sites. Yeah, for cultural sites, yeah. There's different classifications. So 11 cultural sites, which includes what? Nikko and Himeji Castle and the Kinkakuji. Isn't the Kamakura Daibutsu?
No.
Okay. What else?
Todaiji
Temple. Okay, it's Todaiji Temple. They have the Iwanami Mine. Isn't that Iwanami Silver Mine? Iwami, okay, when I go Iwami, silver mine, and some other places. Good. Those are the culture. Now, what about, we have the three natural cultures, which we said earlier, and then there are three intangible World Heritage cultures. What are they?
No Kabuki
Bundaku. Yeah, No Kabuki Bundaku. So total designated cultures are 17. And then they're divided into three classifications. The culture, intangible, and natural. Or natural. Okay, good. Do study a little bit about this because they ask you about, you know, like, where is the World Heritage Site? Then how many World Heritage Sites are there? Where are there? Where are some? Okay, let's go to question 8. I won't ask everybody to answer these, so let's just practice. What is Juyo Bunkazai? Oh, I'm sorry. On his answer, you mentioned treasures. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to say like national treasures or something.
I wanted to say, as she someone said, three cats.
Yeah.
Three monkeys.
The three monkeys. Okay, three monkeys. Sleeping cat.
And sleeping cat.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Okay, but you just said there are many treasures. And treasures would probably, in English, sound a little funny, like gold mine, like a gold chest or something.
Okay.
So, national treasures.
National treasures.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they are, right? I'm sure.
But how about in the case of the carved monkeys? Three carved three monkeys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this, yeah.
What do you call that?
I think they're called the three, they're called the three wise monkeys. And what do they do? They see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
The
carving? Carving?
Carving? Oh, okay. Carving.
Yeah, it's called the carving of the three wise monkeys. Speak no evil. I don't know, in English there's a, I don't know, if speak, hear, and see maybe. See, hear, speak. In English it gets all mixed up. Okay, yeah. So national treasures would be better.
Okay.
Okay, good. Now, tell me, Juyo Bunkazai.
Juyo Bunkazai are important cultural assets. They are designated as such by the education minister, and the most significant among these are classified as national treasures.
Okay. Is that, you have more? No? That's fine. This is just a simple answer. I'll just go on to her. Let her practice and then we'll go on to the next one because I think there are other questions more important. What is Juyo Bunkazai?
Juyo Bunkazai are important tangible cultural assets. They are designated by the education minister and there are over 14,000 architecture and artifacts which are designated as important cultural assets.
Right, okay. 14,000?
14,000.
Yeah, okay, good. All right. Is everybody okay with this? This is just a simple answer. If you memorize it, it's very easy and it's clear. So what about the UK Bunkazai? What is UK Bunkazai?
UK Bunkazai are tangible cultural assets. They are designated as such by the education minister and include pictures, sculptures, architecture, and the like.
Okay. And what is UK Bunkazai?
Same as her.
Oh, okay. You can practice. You want to answer a different question?
No, I can practice.
Oh, you want to practice? Okay.
UK Bunkazai are tangible cultural assets. They are designated as such by the education minister and include pictures, architectures, and the like.
Okay. It sounds funny, but architecture is singular. Unfortunately, we don't count architecture, so be careful. I think a few other people said architectures, but sculptures, pictures, architecture without S. Okay, good.
How differ 8 and 9?
Which one? Okay, yeah, some of this, I'm not an expert in this, but some of them are, it's like an overlapping thing. So, UK Bunkazai are actual physical things. Someone asked me, what is the difference if you can't say tangible and intangible? Because someone said, maybe some foreigners are not from America or Europe or England, and they don't know English well. Maybe they're from another country and they don't know tangible. What would you say? And I would say it's like physical objects, right? Like sculptures, paintings, drawings, you know, architecture and things. You can touch, they're physical. Okay. So then you have the geobunkazai, which are just more important items. And then the most important are national treasures. Right? There's like a big category of tangible, intangible, and among that are geobunkazai. And then among that are national treasures, so kokuho. So, you know, they're not different, separated. They're like overlapping. Right? Is that okay? Yeah, you really have to read, because it's not an easy thing, but it, you know, UK just means tangible, things you can touch. Okay, so among those you can touch, there are Juyobunkazai, and then further, more valuable and precious things are the Kokuho, national treasures. So then the next category they have is this Mukebunkazai. Okay, and what is Mukebunkazai?
Mukebunkazai means intangible cultural assets. They are designated as such by the education minister and includes plays, music, and artistic techniques.
And what are artistic techniques, specific artistic techniques?
Specifically.
Do you know?
Artistic techniques to make, I don't know, it's designated as Mukebunkazai, but ukiyo-e printing is very difficult, I heard.
Yeah, so it's the technique.
Technique.
Right, so probably the ukiyo-e woodblock printing, swords making, lacquer making, you know, some of these other folk crafts. Okay, so it's the techniques. I think the tea ceremony. The technique of doing the tea ceremony is that. Okay, good. What is Mukebunkazai?
Mukebunkazai are intangible cultural assets. They are designated as that by the education minister and include plays, music, and artistic techniques.
Okay, what are some techniques? Same question.
It includes the way of the tea ceremony.
Okay.
No and kabuki praise. And the like.
Okay, so making pottery, doing calligraphy, these things. Okay, so you understand what that means. It's a technique. Now, I'll skip number 11 for right now. Number 12, how are living national treasures designated? So the Mukebunkazai are these techniques, you know, how to make katana swords, to make pottery, to make lacquerware, to make ukiyo-e printing. It's the technique. Number 12 is actually the people who can do this professionally are the living national treasures. Now I have here, this is kind of a complicated answer, and basically they have the Ministry of Education, Culture, Sports, Science, and Technology, which you just say the education minister like the other ones I think are fine. I don't know correctly, but the English names for this Mombu what is it, Monka show or something. You shorten it to Monka show, but in English, look at this, Nishkoi, education, culture, sports, science, technology. Anyway, just education minister probably will work. Designate someone as a living national treasure if the person has... Okay, so possesses is fine if you like, or person has special acting skills in performing arts. So I take all this stuff about skills related to da-da-da. So special acting skills in traditional performing arts. Or number two is special skills in traditional crafts. And just make this very short. If you like to say everything, it's fine. If you don't like to say, you can shorten things. Okay, so how are living national treasures designated?
The Minister of Education may designate someone as a living national treasure if the person has special acting skills in performing art or special skills in traditional crafts of Japan.
Okay, sure, that's fine. Well, I'll just ask you the same thing. What is, how are living national treasures designated?
The education minister may designate someone as a living national treasure if the person has special acting skills in performing Japan's traditional arts or special skills in the traditional crafts or class of Japan.
Right, okay, good. Is that okay for everybody? All right, let's go to number 11. I can't use chopsticks. What should I do?
Don't worry. Many shops, many restaurants in cities and hotels have plenty of knives and forks. So if there are knives and forks are not placed on the table, just please ask the waiter or waitress to bring cutlery to you.
Okay, to bring them to you. Sure. Okay, this answer has on the second line, knives and forks are available for use for those who are not accustomed to using chopsticks. What can you say in two words? Who can't use chopsticks? So you could just shorten that. Okay. So everybody's okay with this? How do I use chopsticks? This is the one that's hard. This other one. Don't worry, you can, restaurants have knives and forks, just ask. How do you use it? But why don't you try to use chopsticks? I'll tell you how to use chopsticks.
Okay, I'll tell you how to use chopsticks. And first, please lower chopsticks.
Lower chopstick.
Yeah, lower chopstick between bottom of your thumb and tip of the ring finger.
Okay.
And hold the upper chopstick with the thumb. And index finger and middle finger. And I'll move the only upper chopstick when grasping food.
Okay, kind of, yeah. Okay, are you ready? Yeah, that's fine. So you rest it, you rest the lower chopstick in the bottom of your thumb and put it on your middle finger, ring finger, and then the top one you hold with your thumb and index finger, and you put the lower chopstick at the bottom of your thumb and put it on your ring finger, and the thing that's missing, you put it on your ring finger, but you also hold it or stabilize it.
Stabilize
with your middle finger. Then you move then you take the upper chopstick and hold it between your thumb and index finger and move it. Move the tips together. Is that how? Some people put it here and move it, but it's harder. Some people use only their middle finger. But it should rest on the ring finger, support it, or have, you know, the middle, the lower chopstick you put in the bottom of your thumb and on your middle and your ring finger, and it is supported by the middle finger, so it doesn't move, so it doesn't, change position, it doesn't move. And the top chopstick is held between index finger and thumb, and it moves up and down. And put the tips together, and you can pick up food. There is a question there, how do you use chopsticks? Okay. And it's so natural, you can just close your eyes, do it, and eat, you know. But when you try to explain, it is hard. And even if you explain this, nobody's going to use it the first time. They still kind of, you know, have trouble. So the more you practice, the more you eat, the more you can use. Okay. Is everyone okay? Yeah? All right. So the main thing is that you hold it, the lower chopstick at the bottom of the thumb and on the middle, on the ring finger, and support it with the middle finger so it doesn't move. And then use your index finger and thumb to hold the upper chopstick and move it up and down. I don't think I'm expert, but I eat, obviously, with this kind of tummy. I do well with chopsticks, even though it might not be the best technique. But then you move it up and down. Put the tips together to pick up food, to grasp food. Okay? Okay, do you want to try? How do you use chopsticks? We'll let you do and then we'll go home. How do I use chopsticks? Oh, she's got something. Let's listen to her professional book. Okay.
How to hold the upper chopstick? This one is held between the thumb and the index and the middle finger, and is moved up and down. And how to hold the lower chopstick? Lower chopstick is stayed between thumb and your hand.
That doesn't mean.
And lower chopstick is kept still.
Yes, lower chopstick is kept still. The lower chopstick is placed on the bottom of your thumb. So the bottom of the thumb and the ring finger, and it is supported by the middle finger. So it doesn't move. Okay? All right.
Practice is not so difficult.
Yeah, if you pray, it will not be so difficult.
It will not be so difficult.
Good. Okay. All right, so we kind of finished this today. I wanted just to ask if you have any questions about today, something you're not sure of. You're okay? All right, yeah, I kind of covered the last kind of, you know, quickly, but I think the muke bunkazai, these types of things, study it in Japanese so you know what it is. Don't you know, if English is difficult, then learn in Japanese about what the techniques are and things, so then it's maybe more comfortable for you. Okay? And the answers here are very simple, and I think the answer about what happens if I can't use chopsticks is very easy, but using chopsticks is difficult to explain, so practice that. Okay? All right, we'll see you next week with more culture questions. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.